He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
All right, all my Slick Talkers, I have a special surprise for you guys. Super thankful for all the support and everyone tuning in. I've been doing about 3 episodes a week now just because I'm so booked out on the show, which is always a good thing. So thank you guys for making this possible. I want to treat you guys with something. So I created a little virtual event. It's a Q&A happy hour with me, and I will be inviting some of the past Slick Talk guests. So go ahead and follow the Instagram and Facebook pages for the podcast. In the show notes of this episode and future episodes, I will be putting the link for you to register for the Q&A. It's free, and the first 10 people that sign up today, and whenever you hear this, go sign up now. The first 10 people I'm watching, I will buy your drink, whether it's a coffee, a wine, or a beer. I will buy the first 10 people that register today. So go ahead, check out the show notes, click the link that is the Q&A happy hour, and then once you do that, register for the event. It's free, and first 10 people, I will pay for your drink. So go ahead, sign up. I can't wait to meet you guys and for just to be able to talk about hospitality and podcasting and get to know you on a little bit of a deeper level. I figured, you know, 2020 is the year to do this. And so thank you guys and the first 10 people I'm watching. So grab your drinks. Let's go.
Not the high commission and not the limited communication. For sure, not the instant booking via credit card only. And I can tell you that the most active OTA that we're using in Smiling House is Airbnb and Airbnb Luxury, from the very reason, forget about the high commission, but just because about the fact that the people can request instead of to book.
Yeah.
And we need this. And but it's not a secret that 50% or more from this request ending up to be a direct contact, and a lot of time behind this request there's not even the client. It's his travel designer, it's his concierge company, it's his driver, it's his chef company or whatever, and they just don't know how to find us.
Welcome to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast where we discuss all things hospitality, hotels, and business. You can find us online at slicktalkthepodcast.com and on every podcast listening platform.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. I'm your host, Will Slickers. And today we have Mariah Rockman from Smiling House Luxury out in the Swiss Alps. Don't think I've ever recorded with anybody that far away.
It's that been really far, that high.
I know that exactly. It's both all the way around. For a lot of the audience members, I know I've said this on a lot of episodes in the past month, but it's been really cool to see the full circle come from going to London in March, pre-COVID lockdown, shutdown type deal, and meet a lot of people in the industry at the Shorties Award and then the Short Stay Show. And Mariah is one of them. We crossed paths very briefly. I don't think we actually shook hands or said hello, but definitely saw her win an awesome award. And then, of course, been following her journey ever since. So Mariah, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Yeah.
Actually,
I must say, I might tell you something that this winning, or because of this winning, it changed a little bit the path of our lives. We were in London in the 11th of March for this competition. That, like you mentioned, that I was happy to win the Pioneer Award. And since then, we decided to stop traveling and use only our base in Switzerland. Before, we shared our life between few countries. And since then, we are here in the Swiss Alps. And actually, it was a very good decision. So it happened for the best.
Good. That's awesome to hear. So no more crazy travels. It's just kind of stay home and bunker down a little bit.
No. You see the 10, I'm normally 10, but now even more so. I just came back from the Gran Canaria Islands and the Canary Islands, and then with a big trip in Portugal, and still heading in 2-3 weeks time towards 1 month in Greece. So wherever traveling is possible, we like traveling and we believe in traveling. We believe that traveling should continue. And in the segment where we are focused on, and we'll talk about it more, I guess, travel never stopped, actually.
Awesome. Well, let's do a quick dive about your background for the audience to kind of get a little bit of perspective on who you are and then how you got to the point that you are with Smiling House Luxury and what it really is and what you guys do as a company.
Yeah, so I started my earliest life and career coming from the background of advertising, communication. I was a lecturer for communication in the university in Tel Aviv. I'm originally from Israel, and mastering with everything that has to do with advertising and PR. Smiling House, born here in the Swiss Alps together with my husband as we moved to live in Switzerland. He's a local boy. He grew up in the Swiss Alps. And we started with hosting in our very old chalet, like 350 years old chalet in the mountains, really like a Heidi chalet. And that's the name we gave it as well. And suddenly we happened to meet people from all over the world. This was already in the beginning of 2012. So we've been some kind of pioneers with Airbnb and with the whole hospitality idea. But because we based here in a kind of luxurious ski resort where a lot of people have second and third and fourth house, before we realize our hobby become a little bit more busy, and many friends ask us if we can take a look and see if we can somehow offer their chalets as well. And after 1 or 2 years of hobby, we realized that we have hundreds of properties here in Switzerland, and it's not a hobby anymore. And it was with a meeting of Brian Chesky, actually, in Los Angeles in the last convention of Airbnb, where the chief of marketing at that time in Airbnb met us and told us, there's no reason for you to do it only from Switzerland. You can do it wherever there's luxury in the world. And in that moment, it was a weird attitude. And we're talking only about 4.5 years ago, but still it's looking a long time ago. And the attitude of a lot of people in the hospitality, and especially of luxury, changed so much since. But we took his words very seriously. And since then, Smiling House is actually an alliance of property managers and property owners around the world, today hosting in 26 countries and more than 80 destinations. When one line is connecting between all the dots around the world, and that's that they all around luxury and even super luxury properties out there. And about a special network of guests and partners that joining this luxury segment, and the way, the beautiful way, the different way that this segment is behaving.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I was going to ask, just because you and I relate on this level, you know, dealing with luxury properties, for you, to explain to the kind of the audience, what is luxury? What does that entail? When people think luxury, it could be different.
Yes, you're right. You're definitely right. And I'm actually very happy that you asked this question, because luxury for me is much more than just a beautiful design or beautiful furniture or, you know, something, a house that's worth a lot of money. It's about the authenticity. It's about the fact of being in a beautiful place and setting. It can be simple place, and the biggest luxury will be that you be close to nature and breathe kind of clear air. It can be a farmhouse. A luxury for me is everywhere where you can feel comfortable and you can enjoy the things that are important to you in a way that is a few standards above what you can expect anywhere else. And of course, it always have to be nice, cozy, beautiful, but does not necessarily have to be super expensive. Does not necessarily have to have the couch of this Italian designer. It can be authentic furniture from 300 years ago. It can still be luxurious. For me, the biggest luxurious is to come with your dog, is to come with your with everyone that you love, and to enjoy your vacation to the fullest. So that's for what's luxury for me. And we accepting also to the to our luxury collection different kind of whatever we'll call luxury. So people will decide what is luxury for them, and they will find it within this collection.
And so they can add like extra experiences, such as like a private chef, or maybe like limo pickup. I don't know. Like, are there like this type of?
So of course, on top of this, you have the whatever we call the like the ultra luxury, right?
Yeah.
And that's for everyone. Like you see, it's the private chef, it's the private ski instructor, private jets, pickup, even you know having a certain food made for you, or we had, for example, a celebrity stayed lately, and they asked that all the things that are not bio will be out of the house, and all the water that will be served will be in certain, you know, in certain way, and the shampoos and everything. So certain guests has different demands, and what another thing that that makes the service a luxurious one is when you can be flexible enough and adaptable enough to give this kind of sometimes crazy request and answer. But it can be, you know, somebody who really want to come with a big crew with him, you know, with staff. And you have to have these kind of houses where somebody who used to live with his staff will live comfortably, not with his staff, but parallel to his staff. And a lot of these luxurious homes within our collection are made and built in that sense, and make it possible to host this kind of families easily.
Awesome, I love that. And so do you guys have a certain standard or checklist that you have for required, I guess, amenities and types of, obviously, like you said, it's a little bit of a broader area on what makes things luxury, but for you as a brand, do you guys go off of a certain standardized requirement, so, or is it kind of a case by case?
Let's divide about, first of all, if we're talking most of our, you know, properties that we are representing are not in city centers. They are in whatever you call the leisure outside of the city getaway destinations.
Yeah.
And therefore, from the start, we're not talking about too much of small places. You almost will not find studios and two rooms or whatever. We're talking about large home, who can host, you know, big families, three generation families, or a family with its staff. We have it within our collection, thanks to some of our partners. We have some amazing also mansions, castles, and other beautiful properties. And of course, as a Swiss company, we have a lot of chalets. Chalets is the it's the cabins, it's the huts, based all over the Alps, Italy, France, Switzerland, Germany, and Austria. And so if to make it a definition, most the first thing is the size. Mm-hmm. So most of the houses in our collection will have between 4 to 12 bedrooms, and then within the amenities, you know, of course, beautiful views. It doesn't matter if it's a sea view or, you know, or in the Alps views, and many, many amenities that you can count. Whatever, you know, whatever you can have in a private home, you probably can find within the collection of Smiling House, like private pool inside, indoor, outdoor, private gym, jacuzzi, and private cinema room, and I don't know, golf and tennis courtyards or whatever, and some of them even have like a private beach access or whatever. But most of the houses are just beautiful villas and chalets with 4 or 5 bedrooms. Yeah,
that's awesome. I love it. Yeah, this is like my area, my like little geek out spot. I love it. So this is great. So pre-COVID though, how would you describe the state of the luxury market? Now, this is something that I've seen you talk about quite a bit, post-COVID, but I want to see before and after. What do you think the state of the luxury market is?
It's a very good question, because I think that actually COVID caught the luxury market segment in the beginning of a big growth. And it feels like before COVID already that the luxury segment got more attention and got more interest. Since 2019, we see more actors, active players in this niche. Let's remember that the luxury hospitality been here forever and ever, right?
Yeah.
Like in the 16th century, 17th century, it's always been there, much before these the OTAs and so on. We'll talk about it also. So it took a while till the kind of players will enter into the niche as it is today, like the OTAs, the technology, and booking online and so on. So it took to this segment some years to adapt, while others been already, in the city centers and so on. And right now in 2019, beginning of 2020, where COVID met us, actually the whole industry as we feel it was really on the way up, and with much more people, and much more offer. And I'm happy to say that, at least from our experience in many markets, COVID didn't hurt this segment as much, and it continued through. And I think that the continuation of being interesting, getting bigger, getting focus, even not only in spite of COVID, but even because of COVID and its mm-hmm. needs, promise that this segment will continue to be a good alternative for purpose of travel. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you think about the people that can afford these types of properties, correct? Like they already have the financial income that allows them to kind of splurge on a nice villa or a chalet or a castle or whatever. And now, not only is it the income is, not really an issue at this point, because if they can afford this type of luxury trip, COVID and other things that kind of have taken place shouldn't really affect as much. And then you think about this segment, like it's a very private type based service, where COVID-19, I think, has pushed a lot of people outside of cities, where there's people and kind of, like you said, dirty air and just all over the sense of too much. I think like there's now the thoughtfulness of COVID-19 and other, nasty things out there is kind of driving everyone to be like, oh, let's go outside of the cities. Let's go outside of these normal, I guess, business or other markets that provide a leisure experience that we don't have to come in contact with other people in the sense of traffic and all the other stuff.
Yeah, that's right. But I must tell you that another thing that was interesting for us during the time of, let's say, the heat of COVID is actually the fact that we had adapting. This is Ira, by the way, coming to stop the beat that we have parallel to our conversation a little bit. We were also sensitive enough to realize the staycation, and we opened this kind of luxury or super luxury properties actually to local travelers that maybe would never have the chance to visit such a place. Yeah. We use the fact that we are an alliance, and we contact homeowners during COVID, say, hey, guys, this is your third home, your fourth home, your fifth home. You're not going to be here soon, and who knows when will you be here at all. You know, there were times in March and April, there was no forecast for flying once again. Let these people living here get out of the city, drive to a dream house and enjoy it and pay less, but let them breathe. Let them stay longer. Let them experience something that they were not aware that existing in their own country. And even if they have the means, whenever they had the time and the ability, the first thing they did, it took another plane to another country they haven't visited yet. Mm-hmm. So with this kind of attitude, we actually hooked a lot of people, not necessarily super luxury budget travelers, but people that wanted or appreciate that in that moment to breathe and to be comfortable and to be in the green is more important than to be in the city. And a lot of people had unbelievable experience.
Yeah.
And felt that they can breathe once again. And these kind of people, I must say, they circles and circles of ambassadors that now sending us more and more other people with a budget of normal budget, just because they felt that we've been there for them in the difficult times.
Exactly. And I was going to say, like, the amount of people that are working from home, I think, you know, with kids and, you know, families and all sorts of other stuff, it's kind of just nice to break that normality of being, you know, let's say like a city or where, like, let's say Seattle, like, you know how Seattle is so crowded, and just to kind of get out of there and still continue to, you know, it's, I think, like you said, it opens up a lot of doors when you have these type of properties, because now you're getting a new experience from a new guest, a new market, or a new type of traveler, in the sense of they never maybe have taken the time to explore or to even just settle down and relax, like you said.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing to see that, you know, we had this experience in different markets. And it's amazing to see that it doesn't matter if we're talking about somebody in Mexico, somebody in France, or somebody in Italy, or somebody in Switzerland or in Israel. Everybody came with the same message. Hey, I didn't know that, like, 1.5 hour drives away, there's such a heaven. I've always been so much in a rush to discover something while this jewel was just under my nose. People discover their own country, their own neighborhood, their own family. And there's some good angles to this COVID era.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, this is why I love this conversation, and I've been looking forward to this interview with you, because, you know, you and I both have been talking about the destination air concept, right? So people that are wired to create unique experiences are anticipated and shared. And for the Book Direct Show, you and I are both are speaking at. So plug in for Damien, Book Direct Show people, you guys, giving you the little heads up here. But so, like, my topic for it is really, you know, creating a new perspective on destination creation. You don't need to be in, obviously, like, yes, it's nice to be in the Swiss Alps, and it's nice to be in these nice luxury market areas. Let's say Colorado, Vail, a nice, great resort area. But right outside, which we've seen with COVID, especially in, like, New York markets and Seattle, that an hour and a half drive is a nice little piece of heaven. There's destinations outside of destinations. So you don't need to really be in a destination market to create a destination. And I think that's been a cool awakening from COVID, is that people are starting to see that you don't have to shop on Google and type in, you know, Caribbean or Bahamas or Hawaii or wherever as a normal destination that you think. You could really just do your own city and find the outskirts of where you are. And so that's been really cool to see. I'm glad that you're a living, breathing example of that. You guys have testimony on testimony, which is amazing. And so I kind of want to pick your brain a little bit too now with post-COVID. Like you said, you were seeing a peak pre-COVID, and now do you think this kind of helped speed up things and to continue that growth? Obviously, you guys said you weren't hit as hard as other markets, such as maybe a host in, you know, that has a 2-bedroom apartment.
I I will be, how to say it, not only that we didn't hit as bad, our company doubled itself in size and income during COVID. And this is, for us, unbelievable achievement, because we didn't have any clue that it would be possible at all. But I'm learning that it happened in other activities, busy with the luxury segment. As you say, the people who could afford it took some of these places, as expensive as they are, and stayed even longer during COVID. We see a lot of interest also from real estate point of view, of people that that understand that they would like to have this vacation home, not only as an investment, but as a place to be in such a situation. And they understand the value of being able to share it themselves or their friends. And so we see more and more also amazing properties getting into the to the offer and to in the inventory. And I think that the luxury segment is ready to make also adjustment, as we said before. And most of the partners that we're working with, most of the homeowners, they are independent. They can take decisions for themselves. While we saw a lot of partners, a lot of colleagues collapsing just because it took so long in big company to take a decision, to make adjustment, to take to change strategy. While we could also decide to take 30% off and say, it is luxury, but now you can afford it. Mm-hmm. So I believe that with this kind of flexibility, the post-COVID, I don't know if there will be a post-COVID, but
yeah,
the new reality is with a wider luxury segment, a bit bigger.
A bit more accessible.
A little bit more recognition by the OTAs, which not... we don't have the easiest time with them because, we'll talk about it a bit later. And let's say this kind of segment is the closest, if you want to compare it to the reason why people are going to hotel, not to the reason why people don't go to hotel and they go to Airbnb. So with the hotel situation, and you don't want to be today in a huge hotel with seven elevators and many, many people and masks all over, the alternative of luxury house, doesn't matter where in the world, is a good one. And I think this is something clients, guests, as well as partners recognizing. And that's why I believe that for the vacation rental, when it's come to luxury, continuing with the trend of the only ways up.
Awesome. And I was going to ask, speaking of trends, are you seeing any trends in, I guess, guest behavior, bookings patterns? When my other like main question off of that too, when COVID hit in March and we had that big lockdown, national emergency in the US and all this other stuff. Did you guys see, was it instantly when things started picking up, like more people just immediately tried to get into these luxury properties outside of the city? Or did it take a little bit of, I would say, like, let's say a month to where they waited, they looked around, they quarantined at home, and then they realized, you know what, I want to get out. I can't do this. I want to get into a spot outside the city, more away from other people, where we can still feel like humans and go outside and all this other stuff. Was it pretty instant to see that, or was it a little bit of...
I have more than one answer to your question, because as I say, we have a bit of a global overview, and different markets act differently.
Yes.
So in the super luxurious resorts, like where we are here in Switzerland or in France, Mallorca, Ibiza, whatever, we saw right away the bookings. And it has to do more with the consumer behavior of the crowd. The crowd of big travelers, the jet setters, the people who we're moving from between one destination, one to another as a lifestyle and not as a traveling, they are the ones that smelled it right away and they say, instead of being here, I better be there. So not only that they been in a hurry to book right away during COVID, during March and April, we never had a moment of stop. So these were the first ones to react, and they are the ones that stayed for 2 months and 3 months, and money was not the issue. Then we had the crowd that you are describing here, the crowd who normally not going to this destination, and we made it also affordable for them in different parts of the world, where we joined the call of get out of the city and come elsewhere. We have something better for you and your family. And it's almost like a gift. It's something that normally you cannot afford. This took also for us a bit like 1.5-2 months to reach out and to agree on it with our homeowners. So we saw these people coming more during spring. And you were right. They needed first to see that it's not just a flu that go away in 2 weeks. And they needed to get also a little bit fed up being at home for four or 5 weeks. But we had also a lot of quarantine for people that could afford it and wanted to be in quarantine with the place with the pool and the garden and so on. And we see it a lot. We saw it a lot in Israel, in France, even in the UK. And but we had also the people that been lucky, so that for example, St. Bart is open and people from the States immediately moved the moment that the announcement arrived. So we're talking also about most of our crowd is a bit more flexible in taking decision, driving the money. And it has nothing to do with most of the bookings that we had nothing to do with traveling. It was to do with lifestyle or what I deserve for myself and my family at the moment. Until June, where we saw a lot of picking up, almost like normal summer and even more in the summer destination, in the south of France, in not in Spain, unfortunately, but in Switzerland and Italy, but mostly with locals. That was beautiful to see in Italy, for example, how so many villas been booked by locals that say, hey, I want to enjoy the Dolce Vita.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that's kind of unique because I think in the industry as a whole, whether we're in a destination market or non-destination market, quote unquote. But, you know, normally when you see locals booking, it's kind of a red flag in some sense. Like every time I was, you know, like it was the slow season, and I get there's people that like to enjoy their city and kind of support local businesses. But in some areas, it was kind of a sign of trouble, right? And you're like, oh no, somebody's gonna have to throw a party, or you know, damage to the room, or you know, there's all sorts of stuff. But it's really cool to see that guest behavior, I think, switch from locals staying is bad to locals staying is good, because now it's more of a, I guess, like community base, in the sense of they're experiencing something new that was right under the tip of their nose, versus they're just here to party and destroy it and then go back home and act like nothing ever happened.
And it's by the way, I think that it's also opened the mind of people that own some of these properties to be more easy with letting it. And as well as, like you say, like the local behavior say, hey, we have to also well behave in our own country. Because this is our neighbors, this is our friends, this is people who open the house for us. There's a whole spirit of more of integrity and community. And within this spirit, this is the way that we reached out to these homeowners, some of them owners of houses that worth tens of millions, and say, open your house. Mm-hmm. Let somebody else enjoy it. And we've been so...
to get there, so.
Yeah. I agree. I couldn't agree more. I hope you're right. I hope we don't live through another pandemic in our life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hey, Joel, I just really want to say thank you for being on the show and bringing this this content, this knowledge and the experience to the audience. It's really important, really key, like you said. this is another outlet for us to all as an industry globally, you know, learn and grow and be resilient and have empathy for one another across whatever state or country we're in. So it's really cool to get your insight. Is there anything you would like to, any shout outs, any shameless plugs that you'd like to give?
Oh my goodness. We will. Thank you. This has just been great. Again, it's just another outlet for me and a part of my, and on behalf of our teams. To chat about what we're going through. But come and see us. We're at the Kimpton Gray Hotel, grayhotelchicago.com. We're in the heart of the financial district of the Loop in Chicago. We're surrounded by this beautiful history and architectural brilliance. And hey, maybe come up and grab a cocktail or a South American Peruvian inspired bite from our Baleo restaurant on the 15th floor. Chef Brian and the team do an amazing job up there. You know, and it's a very ambient, airy space. So you can feel safe. You can feel almost it's like we bring the indoor, outdoors, indoors. But yeah, definitely. Thank you so much.
Of course. Well, hey, I can't wait to make a trip out that way and have a cocktail or a drink with you. It'd be great to meet you guys and the team. All the listeners, check out the Chicago Gray Hotel. I'm linking everything in the show notes. So make sure you follow along. Take a look at this beauty. And if you're in the area, which I know I have listeners out there, I will look at my analytics. So I know if you guys are there, go ahead, give them a, you know, warm welcome and hello and go say, you know, see the property, explore and have
fun. And say hi. Definitely. Yeah. Ask for Joel at the desk. Ask for Nabil at the desk. We'll come up and say hi. We love to get out there and meet people too. We're longing for that, you know, the humor interaction behind masks, of course.
Of course. Well, hey, Joe, thank you again, and we will talk very soon.
Thank you, Will. Cheers.
Thank you so much for listening. We love your support and want to provide the best we can to all our listeners. So please find us online, social media, and on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast.
Hey guys, big announcement here. I'm participating in the first ever Return on Rentals virtual event with some of the most amazing and awesome industry friends I've ever had. This event is unique and different. We're aiming to shake it up and we'd love to have you there. It's all property managers talking about how they use technology to solve problems. There's even a virtual happy hour, which is kind of like speed dating, but in order to make virtual connections. Conferences are canceled, but the opportunity to connect is not. So please join us. I'll have a link in my show notes. I would love to see you guys there. I'm going to be speaking on the power of connections with some amazing industry thought leaders and, let's be honest, just some badass women. So go ahead, join us. It's a free event. Hop on there. I look forward to seeing you there. And of course, having a drink with you afterwards at the happy hour. Stuff because like I think the way you put it, you know, a dating site for, you know, upsell or whatever it's called in Fiverr is a good way to describe it, but sometimes leading up to the marriage you need a little hand holding, and I think that is that is totally okay. And I love that because that, like I said, that's the scariest part for a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in the vacation rental space right now. Just because it's super relatable for me is that it's just boomed, and obviously we've had a little bit of a shift with COVID speeding things up, I think, in the industry, but also kind of helping raise the bar and kind of get out those bad companies that weren't maybe representing the industry very well, to then helping that bar that's being raised to the companies that are holding that standard. So I think a lot of people are also starting to realize that. And so introducing virtual assistants is really, you know, just kind of like that new putting your toe in the water type deal. So Daniel, I just want to say thank you again for being on the show and for, you know, being of a part of the Slick Talk Network and just kind of being a genuine dude and entrepreneur. I love it. Do you have any conclusion or final thoughts for the episode and for the Slick Talk listeners out there? Obviously, we want everyone to text for the book and get you, you know, obviously that free download. I think it's a really insightful piece, but I want to know, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm excited about helping entrepreneurs. It's what drives the business. Like we are here to serve. So one of the things I would encourage people to do is if you've ever considered a virtual assistant. You can just jump on our website, myoutdesk.com. We have an entire section there, blogs, videos, webinars, podcasts. We have a podcast that focuses on our clients and how they won with virtual assistants. The book is an awesome resource, but if you're even wildly wondering if a virtual assistant can help, my suggestion is to jump on our website, grab a consultation. It costs you absolutely nothing, and you will walk away with a plan for launching it in your business. Whether you decide to hire us or not, you'll walk away with everything that you need in order to do so. And we'd just be happy to serve and love to, you know, help your audience out.
Awesome. Well, Daniel, honestly, like I said, it's been a pleasure. I'm really excited. All you Slick Talk listeners out there, just be aware, in the show notes, I'm going to link everything. So you don't need to go, you know, searching for My Out Desk or anything. I'm going to link every single thing into the show notes, so you have it right at the fingertips. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you can obviously link it. But if it goes to slicktalkthepodcast.com, everything will be there too. So it's always a great spot and a good resource. So thank you, Daniel, for being on the show. Super excited to see what you guys are going to do. And I look forward to probably working with you, because let's be honest, I need one.
You need it.
I need it.
All right. Good deal. Well, Will, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We love your support and want to provide the best we can to all our listeners. So please find us online, social media, and on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast.
What's up, everybody? If you've gotten this far into the episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast, then you are amazing, and thank you so much for tuning in. We want to send you two places really quickly. If you can, check out the show notes and click the hospitality.fm link. Check out all of our other shows on the podcast network. And don't forget, if you have someone that you want to hear on the podcast, then fill out the guest fill out form so that way we can get them on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy another episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast.